You know, the world and most things in it are changing. We see changes almost every day in the way that we do things and in the things that we buy. If you don't believe me, go buy a new cell phone or a new computer. And probably before you get it home, a new phone or a new computer has already been put out on the shelves. I know that from the last time I bought a new cell phone. It wasn't but a week later they come out with a brand new one for almost the same price that I paid for an older one. Things are in a constant flux. Things change constantly, some good, some bad. Some are a welcome relief, yet others bring about great harm and cause us to wonder what in the world is going on. Just look around where you work or where you go to school and you'll see how fast things are truly changing. Take a look around your neighborhood. People come and people go. They move in, and before you can even introduce yourself, they're gone. What is even more amazing to me is how fast some religious organizations change. Many have looked out into the world, and they have seen things that draw in masses and proclaim, why don't we bring this form of activity into our worship so we'll have large numbers also? Now, I don't want anybody to truly misunderstand. Not all change is bad. But when we try to change what God has declared as truth, then we're wrong, and we'll have to answer for it. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And in John 8:32, Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The question is, do we believe that or not? If God's word is truth, and God's truth will make us free, then why do so many accept or incorporate the teachings of men into their worship of God? Why do they accept and incorporate the teachings of men into their lives and proclaim themselves Christians and followers of God, but yet they do not follow God? Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 31, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. The question I ask this morning is, whose word are we following? You know, many people, especially older people, and I classify myself in that older people, many times we have a hard time accepting change. You know, as much as we talk about, you know, the good old days with a little objectivity, I think we would all be happy for the changes that have taken place. But you need to understand this. This lesson is not about all of the changes that we have seen in our entire lives, but it is about the greatest change that has ever happened in our lives. Take your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 2. We read about the changes in our life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. What were we? What kind of people were we? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Who were we? We were dead in sin. Dead in trespasses, offenses, sin. We were the sons of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to this course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is who we were at one point in our lives. Who were we? We were dead. We were sons of disobedience. We were worldly, sinful. We were the children of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Look at what Paul writes here. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our lives in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Desires of the flesh, full of wrath and anger. We were dead in trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. When we look out into all of the changes that is taking place over the course of our lives, and there's some here that have seen more change than others, but the greatest change is when we obeyed the gospel. What were we before then? We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were the sons of disobedience. We were the children of wrath. Again, dead in sin, dead in trespasses, dead spiritually. So what are we now? If we were this at one point in our life, what are we now, today, this moment? Not yesterday, hopefully tomorrow, but this moment, right now, today. What are we? Again, let's go back up to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. You hath he quickened. We have been made alive through Jesus Christ's death and our obedience to the gospel. We have been made alive. That's what that word literally is, made alive. Because we were once dead. But right now, if we have obeyed the gospel, then we have been made alive. Now, look at verse 5. even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. We have been made alive with Christ. Do we believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave? Probably everyone here today can shake their heads yes. He has been made alive again. He died on the cross. He was buried. And on the third day, he arose. While we were still dead in sin, Christ died for us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He has made us alive. We are saved by grace through Christ Jesus. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation or our life in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Remember. Remember, we were dead in sin. Now we are made alive. We are saved. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Again, we have been made alive. Once, we were dead. That's what we were. We were dead outside of Christ. No hope. But now, today, this moment, if you have obeyed the gospel, then you have been made alive. We are now his workmanship. Look at verse 10, Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Workmanship. Literally, we are his creation. When you look at the word ordained, literally, it has the idea of being prepared beforehand. Before we ever were, the way was made for us to be saved. Think about that. Think about the love that God had for his creation. That even before he created it, from the foundation of the world, a path was set in motion for the saving of mankind. Walk. The word there, that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, his creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, prepared beforehand, that we should walk or live in them. See how that should make us feel? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We all know that. We understand that. We are now alive, but just not within ourselves. Now we are alive together with Christ. Now we are saved from our past sins. We are his creation, his workmanship. If we walk in, if we walk in the way of God, his word. So how did all this change come about? How did it happen? We were dead in trespasses. We have been made alive. So how? How did all this come about? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. God provided for us the way to change. He provided that way for us. It is not something that we had to search for. It's not something that we had to physically take grasp of. God provided the way for us to be saved. And we all know what that was. The death of his son on the cross. The shedding of innocent blood. God provided for us the way to change. Look at chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Not anybody else, but through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith. So how did this take place? How did we go from being sinners to what we are today? It is by grace, through faith. And that was not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. There was literally nothing we could do in and of ourselves to save ourselves. Think what you can do if you're outside of Christ. What could you do if you are outside of Christ to save yourself? Well, the obvious answer is to get into Christ. But you know, there's many people in the world today who simply do not believe that Jesus is the way. There's many religions in the world that look to other individuals, even images, idols. They worship, they pray to. What can we do in and of ourselves to save ourselves outside of Christ? There's nothing. No matter where you look, how far you look, there is nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Again, verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You see, Paul right here tells us that it's not of ourselves. There is absolutely nothing we can do to save ourselves, but the way of salvation through Christ Jesus is a gift of God given to his creation from the foundation of the world. It's not of our own works. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast, not of deeds of merit. We cannot work our way to heaven. You know, when you start working at a job and you're at the very bottom of the ladder, the last rung on the ladder. You want to try to climb higher, do you not? You want to work your way from the very bottom closer to the top because, you know, as we all know, things are easier at the top, aren't they? Well, in Christianity, can we go any higher than what's been given? Do we try to work our way into heaven? You know, as I said when we began, not all change is bad. Yeah, we can look out into the world and see all of the things that's taking place, all of the things that's happening around the world, and we just sometimes just have to shake our head. We can't understand. We don't know. How can whatever take place? But one thing that can greatly be preferred is the change that we could have in our lives through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are we willing and ready to make that change? You know, most of us here have been Christians for many years. Are we willing and ready to change today our lives in Christ? To be better brothers, to be better sisters, to be better Christians, to be better in understanding, being better in compassion, being better in loving one another. Today, we have the chance to change. You know, many of the things that's happened in the past, we can't change now because it's over and done with. But as long as today is today, we have the ability to change our lives for the better. We have the opportunity to dedicate our lives to Christ. Are we ready to do that today? This morning, the opportunity is given. If you're outside of Christ, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we ask that you would come and make the request to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, to make a change from what you are to what you can be, a child of God. Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps you've seen in your life that